Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans.
FERAL Audio.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Let's go. Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down, everybody. All right. Oh, wow. Digga, digga, digga. Digga, 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 digga. No buzz. Come on! Oh, so sweet!
Why don't you want to know?
Okay, we are live, folks. It's Friday morning. Coming to you from Glendale, California. That's What's the Buzz? Hot Puppy Style. Thank you, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Thank you, Tim Rice, for checking in with that song. Now accepting your Skype calls all morning long. Hello there, live. Kentig. What's going on?
Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How's the solving all the... those diseases from Mike Huckabee going?
I'm working on it. I was up late, kind of checking. I got the cancer thing down, but then I didn't realize I was going to be tackling all four, I guess. I mean, I should have known when
well,
I was signed on.
That's a big one, though.
Yeah, but, you know, there's some, like my cure is... It's good. It's just not... It doesn't apply to the all of them, you know? So... There's something like bone cancer is just that just flies that just goes right just like passes right through my plan. You get bone cancer and you do my nootropics and everything. It just there's nothing that you can do about that.
Well, I think that's not up to Mike Huckabee's standards for sure.
I'm working on it. Like I said, I've got to figure it out.
I appreciate your help. So I had a quick question. Well, not kind of quick, but real quick, though. So, you know, I've seen entertainment and the comedy a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of...
You've seen it a lot, but you don't even know the name.
What?
Oh, it is called entertainment. I'm sorry. I'm so used to everyone just getting the name of those movies wrong. They call it The Entertainer and they call it The Comedian. But anyways, I apologize. I take it all back.
Hey, no need to apologize. So, yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of loneliness in those movies, you know, with entertainment, you know, he's out alone a lot, you know, people talking to him that, you know, don't know what they're talking about, you know, John C. Reilly talking business to him, you know, that other comedian doesn't, and, you know, the Spanish.
Yes.
Yeah, and then so with the comedy, you know, you're around a lot of people, but nobody's really saying anything. You know, there's like a lack of communication, you know, and and I know it with a lot of your fans, and I feel this in a way, you know, is I can see these great things, like, right, On Cinema is great, right? And then Nathan For You, I think, is probably, On Cinema and Nathan For You is probably the best comedies I've ever seen, you know?
Oh, wow.
And
but I'm pleased to be in the company of Nathan there, but thank you, go ahead.
Yeah, but so the thing is, but they don't, the viewership is down, you know what I mean? It's not comparable to some other things. And I think it's frustrating, you know, like how I can watch something and you know, and love it, and then not be able to communicate it to other people. They just see what's on there, and they don't, like, you know, but like, so I'm sure that you're the creator of these things. So like, have you dealt with these kind of things? And
well, I guess the question is, why aren't these things that you like more popular?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Is that frustrating? Or I mean, is it just as frustrating?
Well, I think
it's
there's
like a communicating sense of humor too. I don't understand, you know.
I mean, what makes you special? I think the work you're talking about is very. It takes a bit of a commitment. It's not passive. It's a little bit of a slow burn or a kind of quieter kind of thing that doesn't reveal itself quite. You know, it's not on the surface quite easy to understand or something. So I think most people don't have the fucking time, and they don't have the interest and the energy to invest in our weird stuff. You know, they like. I don't know. You know, most people have bad taste, or in my opinion, I don't, but that's just my opinion. But look at what's popular. Look at all the other stuff that's popular. There's a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
There are some good stuff. I mean, I love some good, some big popular things, too. So there's stuff that just, really transcends, you know, can have great quality and be, popular. But generally, there's a lot of stuff that's just easy to consume. It's targeted towards a mass audience. That's what it's made for. And all the stuff you seem to like is very, very much individually made for the creator, made for the people making it, and without a big regard for what the audience is going to think. So, and also I think important thing is there's no money spent at all on promoting it. So there's just a chunk of people that aren't getting marketed to for some of this stuff. You know, they're just, if you marketed the comedy the way, say, you marketed The Big Bang Theory, which, you know, billboards all over the world and commercials every break during the news, or, you know, tons of money spent in pushing it out to people, you know, you'd see an uptick in the number of people that at least were aware of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, in putting out, like, number one rated, you know, a lot of people look into what's popular. And I know, like, even, like, Voltaire, you know, I don't know, like, 200 years ago or something, he said, like, one out of every 5,000 plays made are great. You know, the rest is shit. Like, I don't know if this book, Candide.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's just how it's going to be, you know, we're just going to have...
I'll get all my awards, you know, when I'm 75 years old. I'll get all that recognition.
Andy Kaufman style.
They'll cart me out in a wheelchair and celebrate my illustrious career. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it now.
Be getting all these essays written, you know.
All right, listen, I got to go. Good talking to you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tim. Appreciate you.
Take care. Let's go to Tobias. Tobias Keller.
Hey.
Oh, no. Oh, try again.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. There was a little computer glitch at the top of your call, but you're coming in clear as a bell right now.
Okay, great. Calling in from Munich, Germany.
Es muss mir aussehen, dass tolles Klach Woch Lenel Nalachem. Ich spreche keine Deutsch. Ich spreche keine Deutsch.
Oh, yeah, that. I got that. Okay. Well, the reason I'm calling is, I recently finished reading the book, The Disaster Artist.
Oh, yes. Great
book. I just wanted to know if, have you read it?
Yes.
Are you excited about the James Franco movie?
No.
No?
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably check it out as a morbid curiosity. I can't imagine it's going to be any good, but maybe it will be. I don't know. I think I saw, was there a trailer out for it?
No, I don't think so, but okay. It's premiering this month at South by Southwest, so there might be a trailer soon. So, yeah. Well, I noticed that you were in the thank you section of the book, you and Eric.
We were? I think...
Yeah, you were mentioned in the... Oh. At the end of the book, there's like a thank you section and...
That's nice. I like getting thanked for things like that. That's terrific. I thought it was a good book. I think... it was very well written. It was a good, you know, you didn't need to be like a fan of The Room or of Tommy Wiseau. I think, you know, it's just a compelling, good story. And the whole time I'm reading it, I was totally. Like, God, this guy's totally burning this bridge here. But I guess they're not, I guess they're still cool. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so weird. That I don't think Tommy read it. I think he just read parts of it, right. So...
All right, well, all the best to you in Deutschland.
Are you going
to
watch the movie, though?
I don't know. I don't get a chance to watch too many movies. Unless it's a movie about a princess or something. You hear me? I got that 3-year-old.
Yeah, I get it. I got gotcha.
You. You feel that? I tell you what, though, man. I watched Manchester by the Sea last night or two nights ago.
Right.
And it destroyed me.
It's heartbreaking, isn't
Holy
it?
Holy shit. And I was kind of like staying away from that movie. I thought, I know what this is going to be. These like South Boston fucking working class, you know, like I've seen those movies already, you know, the Boxer, what was it? The Fighter.
Sure.
And The Town and all these fucking New England, you know, melodramas. With a bunch of guys and their girl. Tommy, why do you gotta drink so much, Tommy? You fucking asshole. That's terrible Boston accent. But it was like, you know, a lot of shouting, a lot of women, like who, like a lot of very beautiful actresses who are like, you know, I'm gonna like peroxide my hair and smoke and drink, you know, like wear a bunch of crap. But so I went in with reservations. Now, I don't want to give anything away. I don't give any spoilers away. But the turn that movie takes in the second act destroyed me. I will admit, this is a truthful place. It's an honest place. And I am a man.
You being a father as well.
Right? Oh, that's what I was going to say. Me with two children upstairs asleep as I watched. Crushed me. I was a wreck. It was sickening. It was sickening. It was almost sadistically sad. Almost pornographically upsetting.
But in a good way?
Well, ultimately, I thought it was very well done. Very well made. You know, I would say I
have
to. Five bagger, of course. Thank you, Tobias.
Thank you. Bye.
And I don't want to talk about, I don't know anything about the actors involved in their... Yes, Frank! What are you doing, Frank? Frank! Frank! Son of a bitch!
Thank you, Tobias.
You think this is a joke?
Holy shit.
And I don't want to talk about...
Frank!
How are you?
I'm listening to you banging your cock on the table there. What are you doing?
Not bad.
What are you doing, cutting onions?
Cutting onions, you know it.
No, what were you banging on?
I was actually cutting onions.
You were?
Yep, yes. Sir.
How did I know that? What are you doing up there, cooking?
I am.
What are you
cooking? Peeking at my camera.
No, I'm not. But tell me, I've got the intuition for this kind of thing. Nice. What are you making?
Making a pork roast and apple pie.
Oh, baby, you're getting me hungry. Where are you calling from?
Come again?
Where are you calling from?
Calling from Oslo.
Okay, you're going to come over and see our shows in London? That can't be too much of a hop, skip, and a jump.
Well, I've heard you the last couple office hours say something vague about going to the UK. Have you announced...
Yes, 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 yes.
Sweet.
So listen, all right, fine. I'll announce it here. Because yes. I figure everyone's just following me on the social media and paying attention to everything, but I guess not. Here's the deal, very quickly. Me and Neil Hamburger will be in London.
Oh. Yes?
For 2 weeks in August. Shows ranging from the, I believe, the 21st to the 2nd. I might not be right, but of August. And that is at the Soho Theater. And that's a beautiful spot. So every night, I believe, I think every fucking night, can you believe that? In a couple.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And one of those, there's also going to be a matinee, which will be an on cinema event. Unfortunately, I believe that that's sold out at this point. Sold out in like an hour, very quickly, what? Very popular. But!
Well, that's a goddamn
there
shame.
Are but, plans, there are plans.
I'll be there. There are, I'll see you there for sure.
Okay. There are plans. We are in early stages of figuring out adding another day for that stuff. So it's Monday, I should say, it's Monday, August 21st to September 2nd.
That was right. All right. That was right.
So go to the SohoTheater.com and get your tickets. They are selling very fast, I'm being told. A lot of seats to fill over 2 weeks. Let's take a call. Did you have anything you wanted to add? I'm sorry. I've been.
I was going to ask you if you ever watched pro wrestling when you were a kid.
Of course.
Probably not anymore, but.
Of course. No, not anymore. But of course, I was. I grew up in, I think, what you might consider the glory days of the sport in the 1980s.
Yep.
So I had, let me start naming some. And as if I pause, you can comment, but let's see how many I can get through.
All right,
Sergeant Slaughter, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, George the Animal Steel, Randy Macho Man Savage, Iranian Sheik or the Iron Sheik, and just to name a few. I mean, that was my big passion for a few years. You know, prepubescent, pre-girls, and that certainly I got to see one. I went to one event. I believe I saw Sergeant Slaughter battle the Iron Sheik.
Wow.
Like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. I always thought there's something to wrestling, especially classic wrestling. It's really like, I don't know, as a medium, I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye.
All right, awesome. Good.
Hey, Jody. What's up, Jody?
Yo.
Yo, Jody. What's going on?
Yo. Hey, what's up, man?
Not much.
Sup?
What you got?
I don't got much of anything, but I did get tickets to go and see you guys in London.
Great.
Yeah, that's great. Except, it's terrific. Except, the On Cinema thing was sold out in about 4.5 seconds.
I know. I can't believe. I don't get it. We were just lamenting on the show earlier about how unpopular this stuff is, but then that doesn't reconcile quite with the idea that an event in London, England gets sold out in 2 minutes. But it's not a very big space, so it's not like we're selling out the Prince Albert Hall.
I'll tell you what, though. I am going to go see you guys, and it took you guys to make me go to London, which I hate London.
Oh, my goodness.
I despise London.
What?
London sucks. It sucks.
It sucks,
Tim.
Oh, come on. It's beautiful. It's culture. It's history.
No, it's gross, and it sucks. And
all right. Well,
it smells bad. Oh. It stinks.
Where are you? In the you're in the country.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Good for you. Don't you ever get bored? What are you going to do? You walk outside, you just say you go to hang out with the sheep? Well, I don't know. I think that's disrespectful to say such a thing about London, England. Okay?
Uh-oh.
So I
Go ahead.
No, I think you should apologize to our London listeners. But you know what? Don't bother. Don't bother. It's your opinion. You have the right to have that opinion. And we look forward to seeing you in London. Thank you for making the trip.
Yay!
Take care, Jody. Talk to you later. All right. I mean, Casey, it has to be quick.
Yay!
Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hi.
We were wondering if you're coming to South by Southwest this year, maybe?
No, I am not. I was not invited?
Well, here's your invite. We got an extra room.
Okay.
You have to share a bed with my dad. But.
First class accommodations, I assume.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
No, what are you, Austinites?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What, are you living with your dad?
No. He's living with us.
Oh, really? What is the deal here? Who are we talking to?
This is Casey, woman. I'm Brian.
But she can introduce herself. She doesn't need you. Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
And I'm Casey. And you guys live together and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we just bought a house.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. It's affordable to own a house in Austin, or is it not?
More than other places.
Less than some other places.
Are you in town? Are you what part of town are you in?
We're in Hyde Park.
Hyde Park.
It's north of the university.
Well, it's terrific. And what do you guys do for a living that you can own a house?
I do photography right now.
I edit Halo videos.
Which you should check out his Halo video.
What do you mean you do Halo videos?
Here, I'll post a comment.
We just sent it.
It's like Halo 80s action movie mashup videos.
They're really good.
This is what gets you a house these days?
Yeah, how good they are.
I've really tapped into a niche market.
Good
here.
For you. I'm so happy for you too. You seem lovely, and I wish I could. Are you planning on going to see things at South by Southwest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most excited about?
Well, it's a lot of bands we don't know, because that's what it's kind of about.
So you go and just see bands based on the name and the picture of the boys in the band, or what do you do? How do you become?
Oh, yeah, Hanson's going
to
be here.
Hanson's going to be here. I used to have a huge crush on them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty embarrassed about that.
Oh, well, I wish I was going. I do love the town. I love being down there, but I'm sure I'll be down there sometime this year and we can all spend some time together and get to know each other.
Yeah, you
can
come over to the new house.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Tim.
Where's my Nick McNamara? Where's my Nick McNamara? Nick McNamara. Nick. Hello? Nick? You dumb shit. You dumb dirt. You dumb turd. Son of a bitch. Let's talk to Phil. Phil's always a good, reliable call. Always comes in and delivers.
How are you, Tim?
Good, man. Actually, I'll tell you real quick. I burned the shit out of my fingers last night.
Oh, no.
I was making... you have a Trader Joe's where you live?
We do, yes.
Well, they have in their freezer section, they have a rack of lamb that is delicious. Mm-hmm. I believe that's coming in from New Zealand, and it is all seasoned there for you. It's all ready to go. You put that boy on a tray and slide her in the oven for 20, 30 minutes. And it's
breast
just
bed.
prime, I believe so. And so I take out the lamb with my mittens, you know, your oven gloves, put it down on the table, and I have a feeling that they're not quite done yet, so I go to get my meat thermometer. I get the meat thermometer, and to stick the meat thermometer in to the meat, I need to get a little purchase. I need to get a little something to push against, so I grab onto the tray to push the meat thermometer in. This is the tray that had just come out, folks, of the oven at 400 degrees, and I gave it a full grasp.
Oh, boy.
And I screamed bloody murder, and it was just the tips of. I'll show you guys if you want to see. I mean, I don't know if you'll be able to tell. Look at those. Can you see that? It's hard to see.
I think I'm lagging behind. I can't see it, but I'll trust you.
I got a good visual on them. But they're blistering up. That's how it goes. But it was about an hour or so of pain, Jane.
Yeah, I got a nasty scar on my hand as well that I was drunk one night. Thought I'd burn something to be funny for the fellas, and then a piece of the burning material dropped on my hand, and
ew.
A long lasting scar.
Nothing worse than a burn. How can I help you today, Phil?
Hey, have you heard of this? I'm sure you have. Maybe you've even talked about it. I didn't get to listen to the last office hours. This Steve Martin's masterclass.
Yes.
That he's putting on.
Yeah, I want to know more about masterclass. They always pop up in my feed. And I've seen, who have I seen up there? Hans Zimmer. I've seen Gordon Ramsay, maybe, or some cook, and Steve Martin now, and Kevin Spacey. Bunch of big, A-list type talents doing this.
It's I was kind of curious, and I got to kind of looking into it a little bit. And yeah, I'll preface it by saying I love Steve Martin. I think he's just one of the great all-time comedians. But I was just wondering what was this? It sounded interesting, I guess. But I know your take on taking comedy classes is kind of a waste of time. And then I was trying to figure out, well, how is he going to even put this on? Is this going to be like some one-on-one session with Steve, or what? What's how are you going to get out of this what you're expecting to when you got a class titled Masterclass? And yeah. I was actually looking into it. It's only like $90.
That's pretty affordable. I mean, it's pretty reasonable.
Right. Very. Very, very affordable. But what it is, it sounds like what you pay the $90. And then they send you, what it says is they send you like 25 videos that I guess Steve has already made. And he's giving you all the tips and tricks of the trade, I guess. Yeah. So you sit through and watch these 25 videos of Steve telling you, here's how you find your voice or you become this great comedian. And
go ahead.
Well, and then it promises that Steve will critique some of your work, so I guess you can make these videos and send them in. But if you read the fine print, it's really just it's all the other knuckleheads who've signed up for this class that are going to critique your work, and Steve will critique a quote unquote select you. it's so tempting just to participate to see what happens, but yeah. Almost sounds like a waste of money.
That's funny. Well, I will say, if there's a guy that might be interesting to hear talk about that kind of stuff, it would be him. I think if you've read his book, Born Standing Up, it's one of the best books about craft, I think, regardless of comedy. Have you read that?
I haven't, but you probably would get more out of that than you would.
You might. I mean, I watched the little trailer for it. And it seems like he sits around with some aspiring comedians and like talks to them, gives them advice. And I mean, it can't hurt. I mean, if you have the $90 to spare, you know,
right.
I don't want to say it would be completely useless. I think I'm curious to see what like his deal is with it, because I suspect it's got to be either something he was able to do in a day, or 2 days maybe. But for $90, they've got to haul in quite a few people buying that. I would have to do some math to figure out at what point does it become like, is he taking a piece of that $90, or did they all, I mean, they must have just, my working theory would be that Masterclass, the business, got a bunch of seed money, bunch of investment money, venture capital, with this concept of luring in you know, professionals with big names, and they
right.
they sort of picked 10 really big names and offered them a lot of money to do it, because basically this is their entrance into the market with these names. That would be my guess without doing any further research, which I probably won't do. But if anybody from Masterclass wants to come on and talk about the company, I mean, you know, we I don't want to say anything's a scam. It's if they're honest about what it is. But it is funny, the idea of like, oh, cool, I'm going to, you know, there must be a portion of people like logging in there and signing up for $90 thinking that they're going to be going to school with Steve Martin and he's going to sit with
them. That's right. It's kind of right. spun that way to make you think, well, you know, that is cool. I'll be sitting there maybe on Skype with Steve Martin or something, and that's clearly not the case. He's right. probably got some pre-recorded messages, and then he'll say good job or whatever at a key critical point in your class or something. But maybe we need to push Huckabee into taking the Masterclass course. And,
Huckabee's Masterclass on Twitter jokes, on social media yeah. humor. Hey, Phil, you're a big On Cinema head.
Yes.
Would you, hypothetically, be supportive of some kind of annual membership plan that would give you that would, you know, help fund certain projects going forward?
I definitely would, and I heard what happened to the Oscar special, which, you know, my side opinion was that's a mistake on Adult Swim's part, but I would absolutely be in to contribute to keep that going, because I think if anything, that's just such a
Do you think we'd be successful if we handled that right? You think we'd bring
yes. And I'm sure you guys would offer some kind of reward levels and things of that nature to people who contributed, like most people do. And I think you'd have a great response to it.
Well, I think it's exciting because, in a way, it works very well within the world, within the universe of the show. If we do it the right way, and that's what we're trying to do. So we're not going to talk too much about that yet. It's still in the
right.
early works, but it's an exciting thing to think about, and lots of fun ideas coming up around that. So thanks, Phil.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Good talking to you. See you, Tim.
Josh.
Hey, what's up? It's Juice again.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know what pisses me off is when I'm at a concert and the band's playing for about 45 minutes and I'm sitting there, it's like, I've heard this song already. You've been playing it for the past 30 minutes. You ever been to that?
What are you talking about? A Grateful Dead concert?
No, Tim. Like a rock and roll concert. Some kind of rock and roll band.
I don't know. I don't go to much of that anymore. You're talking about a band that plays too long? Plays a song too long? Jams too long?
No, they just play too long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, keep the set short, guys. Keep it short. I don't want to be standing there for more than an hour and a half, unless you're Paul McCartney.
I saw
Paul McCartney, and it was a 3-hour show.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. It's Paul McCartney.
A lot of material to go through.
If you're just like a, you know, like a local band, you know, do like a 20-minute short set, you know? That's a good set.
20 minutes seems a little, maybe people would feel a little gypped. I think you want to go for hour 15. You want to feel like at the hour mark, things are starting to wind down.
Yeah, but if you're playing punk rock music, it's all the songs are really fast. It's supposed to be quick.
Well, there you go. That's the Ramones, right? Didn't they play like 20-minute sets?
Yeah.
All right, Josh. Good talking to you. Interesting conversation about set lengths. Probably going to get clipped out and spread all over the internet. Hey, Ryan Lowry. Lowry's, are you familiar
with... Tim, how you doing?
Good. I just want to ask you quickly, are you familiar with Lowry's sauce, Lowry's prime rib?
I am indeed.
How exciting for you.
Salt.
A lot of salt.
Indeed, I'm more of an
MSG.
Old Bay boy myself, though.
I understand that. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm homesick. Didn't go to work today.
But you don't sound sick to me.
Cold. So I'm wondering, what is your remedy of choice when you're a little stuffy?
Oh, man. I take a hot shower.
Okay.
And you just, I take, you know, I just blow my nose and I just take some tea. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You have to wait it out.
I know. I'm thinking about going to this, sitting in the steam room at my gym.
Oh, that's a good idea. Do that. But you know what?
Yeah.
It's only temporary relief.
Hey, you know, but it'll give you
a little. Yeah, it'll give you a little relief, but it's not going to cure nothing. It's not going to take it away for good. It's going to come back. It's going to be with you for a couple of days.
I know. Right. Now, listen, Tim. I got the real reason I called is I've had a question about the Decker and Dakar sort of nexus. So we all know that Dakar and DKR, the musical passion projects of, you know, the Tim Heidecker from the On Cinema universe, but we also learned in Decker Decker Unclassified,
yeah,
that Jack Decker himself is actually the lead singer. So my question for you is, on a Dakar or DKR LP, in the liner notes, who would be listed as the lead singer and bass player?
Well, here's where it all starts. You're starting to pull at a thread, aren't you?
I believe I am.
Yes. One of my favorite things online after that season ran was the people in confused and insisting that Manuel and Axiom were dead and that that plane crash was real, and my insistence that stubbornness that that was just a show, that's different from the real thing. And I like that you acknowledge the insanity or the inconsistency.
I love it.
And
it brings me great joy.
Yeah. It's you know, we always laugh about the, obviously I talk about the intentions of the creators, and that's a big part of a lot of our work, but
right.
That's when you start seeing how inept everybody is involved. These things start happening. Thanks for the question, Ron.
That's wonderful. Thanks, Tim. Have a great day.
Ah, yes, I do. I do like you guys. I have to admit,
thanks for that.
You do make me smile, Johnny.
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, were you guys influenced at all by Mad Magazine?
I grew up certainly reading it as a kid. It was always something I looked forward to and picked up copies of, and I assumed influenced my sense of humor at an early age. I mean, I stopped reading it, you know, in middle school or something, or, you know, I haven't kept up with it.
Yeah, you think it's kid stuff?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it lost its appeal at a certain point.
Love it this day, man, but that's just me. I'm 26, and I was seeing this interview with Al Jaffe, and he does great answers to stupid questions or something like that.
All right.
And sometimes your answers in this podcast, in this office hours, reminds me of that.
Oh. All right, well, I can't talk to this scratch. I'm sorry, the scratching was driving me crazy. It's like he's got a cat there scratching. I need to talk to Babu. Babu. I need to talk to Babu. 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 I need to talk to Babu. Hello? Babu. Babu. Hello? No Babu. That's too bad. I set that up to be something cool. Trevor? Oh, Trevor, we lost Trevor. Brandon?
Hello.
Hello, Brandon. Mindell. Mindell?
Trevor? Sorry, I'm turning up the volume.
Sounds like you're jacking off.
Hello?
Yes.
Tim Heidecker.
What's up, Brandon, baby?
How are you?
Good. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Just outside Vancouver, BC.
Alrighty then, as the great Jim Carrey would say. What is it? How can I help you today?
Nothing. I've always tried to get on to live, and here I am.
Here you are with nothing to say.
No, just want to say hi.
What are your plans for the weekend?
Well, I'm off today. Up in Canada, HMV is closing down. It's a
music store, yes.
Yeah. They're shutting down all their stores. So yesterday I just went and spent a bunch of money and got a bunch of great things that people don't normally pick up. You know, they went and they got their 20% off their Suicide Squads, but there was still tons of great stuff left there. I got the documentary, The Wolf Pack. Have you?
Oh, I haven't seen that. It's on my list. It's on my...
Yeah, I'm so excited. I haven't seen it yet. I'm so excited to watch it. What else did I get?
It's a new segment on our show called What Did I Buy at the Record Store with Brandon Mindell.
Let me see. Oh, there was the Mad Max Fury Road. The black and chrome edition only comes in like the big box set.
Okie dokie.
That's that black and white one.
Okie dokie.
Lots of good stuff.
Real movie buff.
Yeah, man.
All right. Listen. Why don't you spend some time this weekend and watch some of those movies you bought?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
There you go. How's the weather? Right, thanks, how's Tim. The weather up there? Beautiful?
No, we've actually been having snow for the past couple weeks.
Bitch.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We're looking about at 83 degrees down here. I don't know what that is in Celsius, something like 26.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
It's beautiful. That's what it is. Not pretty nice. It's beautiful. All right.
All right. Well, thank
Pat Holt. Coming in on Pat Holt.
What's going on, man?
What's up, dude? How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from a little town outside of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm at work.
Shit, man. Where are you working at, bro?
I work in an office. Whew.
What are you making, staplers, or you just doing insurance, or...
No, we make composite decking and railing.
Oh, shit, man. Oh, man. Fucking
it's pretty popular out in the West Coast, actually.
What do you do with that? You make, like, railings and shit?
Yeah, and decking.
Oh, yeah. Like decks. Oh, yeah, like all weather?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I got some deck. I got a wood deck, man. That shit's falling apart on me. I need some composite, man.
Yeah, you got to replace it.
Send me out some of that deck. What you got?
Well, I wanted to ask how many episodes are going to be in the show with you and Greg this season.
Decker?
No, not Decker. I'm actually drawing a blank with you on the telephone right now. Cinema.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's 10. Always 10.
Always 10.
Always
okay.
10. So we got one coming up on Monday. Number 2 is coming up on Monday.
Yeah, our lead web designer and I always watch him here in the afternoon. So Monday's the night we like it. Got him turned on to your stuff.
All right, good. Well, thanks for watching, and tell everyone you know to watch. It's on Adult Swim's website right now. There's a big controversy this week about it no longer being on YouTube, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it is, because our IT department blocks our access to stream from Adult Swim's website, so we actually have to watch it on my phone.
Maybe you get some fucking work done now. What they should do is put that the shit on YouTube, because that's where y'all end up watching all your shit.
I sense that you're making fun of my southern accent.
I'm not making fun of yours. I'm making fun. I just like talking in different accents when I'm with the person from there. All right? Now, like, if you call in from London, I'm going to talk to you like that. If you call in from wherever, that's how it's going to be. If you call in from Brooklyn, I'm going to talk to you like that. Capoosh?
Capiche. Have a good weekend.
Bye now.
All right, see ya.
He has a good attitude, boy. Robert Cap.
Hey, Tim.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
How are you, man?
I'm all right.
I've got a quick question for you. I hope it's one that hasn't been asked before.
All right.
So I was watching Bedtime Stories the other day, and I noticed at the end of one of the episodes featured an actress who was trapped in a cage.
Yes.
And she was, if I'm correct, the same person who you guys did the Howard Stern little bit with.
Yes, it was. Sheila
Lazar. Now, there must be a story behind.
Sheila Lazar. Well, the story is, as far as I can recall, we did the interview with them for the Bedtime Stories Halloween special with Zach, the Haunted House special. And we did, here's the thing, we always, you know, we often get asked to do some of the lot, like the bottom tier press kind of stuff, like just the shit that you never see again and you never get why you're even, they'd want to talk to you, and you feel obligated, you feel weird to say no to that, but you also realize it's kind of futile and it's like just creates more garbage out there. So there was one, I don't know what it was called, What's Happening Now or something, or Hollywood Spotlight,
Hollywood Superstars, yeah, or
something. And we said, all right, we'll do it. And we showed up, and like Paris Hilton was on before us. And we were a little bummed and depressed, and we didn't really have a good angle on it. And Eric was just like, let's just Baba Booey the shit out of this interview. We're like, okay, fine. That's something to work with. And so we did the interview, and you know, it was, they were cool about it. Like, I don't know if they got it during the moment, but afterwards they were just thrilled that we made something. We, you know, after coming off of Paris Hilton, who probably just sat there and, you know, plugged her perfume or something, it was a little kick in the ass, you know.
Right.
So when we were writing that episode, and we had this idea of sort of satirizing that world, you know, we thought about using somebody that just could do it naturally instead of just getting an actress. So she was up for doing it. That's kind of, you know, she was just on our minds because we had done it, and it was she was exactly the kind of sort of, you know, Hollywood extra TMZ, whatever, like she could do that. That's what she does. That's her job.
But the difference being, the first time you were completely making fun of her, kind of behind her back, and the second time she like was making fun of herself in some ways.
Yeah.
And she completely understood that, of course, the second time. I mean, like, you must have had to talk to her and be like, hey, like, remember that thing we did in the past? Well, we're going to do it again, but this time, like, it's an act, and you'll know it's an act.
You know what? It didn't come up. And it's better to not talk about it. I'm sure she put it together. You know, it wasn't like we were vicious with her. We were doing a kind of an inside joke to the Stern guys.
No, I respect her for being so cool about it.
Yeah.
Tim, thanks for answering the question. I will say the On Cinema like subscription service, money idea. I think the fans, like you'd mentioned, who are keen on the show, are the types of people that want to pay for some weekly movie pass, or, you know.
Yeah.
Greg, I'm sure he has like some cool things he can offer as tiers.
We'll be getting into all of that shortly. You'll see a lot of news about that soon. But we will make it so fucking fun and so satisfying to the all the OC heads that you'll be incapable of resisting.
Amazing, man. Hey, Tim, show us your hands one more time.
My total access request. All access total request.
All right. Okay, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Bye. Eric Ciccone.
How are we doing?
I'm doing good. You, what are we doing? What are we talking to? Madonna's nephew?
You know, some people know her last name and realize that, and I can't lie. It's given me some perks over the years.
Well, good for you.
Last time I was in California, the this restaurant owner, I was taking out a girl. Took her to a nice restaurant.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Yeah, you got an interesting last name. And turns out he knew her family was pretty close. And, well, I told him the truth that I wasn't related. He still comped the meal.
All right. So how can I help you today?
Well, longtime commentator. I don't really often have the chance to call in on a Friday. So very stoked to be able to talk to you. You know, I was back home in Connecticut, my parents' place, for New Year's.
Yeah.
And in the New York City area, I don't know if you're aware of this, on New Year's Day, they play the Honeymooners.
Oh, yeah.
On Channel 11. Yeah, so I grew up watching that. I love that show. I love Jackie Gleason.
WPIX?
Yeah, WPIX, WB11. You know, I was watching that, and I realized... Jackie Gleason's humor, you know, it's very physical, obviously, but his facial expressions always killed me. And I think that's kind of, you know, when I started watching you guys, Tom Goes to the Mayor, Tim and Eric, awesome show. I think that's what clicked for me is you guys' facial expressions. Yes. Kill me. They slay me. And I can't help but wonder if you guys were at all influenced by Jackie, by the Honeymooners.
I mean, listen, I don't know overtly. I certainly knew them growing up and watched them as casually, you know, but actually last year around this time, I started watching them again on YouTube. There was like somebody put them all up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. They're really, really, really funny.
I mean, like and every sitcom.
It's crazy. Yeah, and if you can strip back sort of the 50-whatever years or for whatever it is of their influence on comedy and on sitcoms in particular and see them sort of with fresh eyes and ears, it's really, really great. And he is unbelievably funny. You're right. The facial expressions, the bigness, the physicality, the shouting, the yelling, you know, like just the bigness of it all.
Yeah.
Definitely, I looked at it this year and said, oh, there's a lot of stuff that I do that comes from that or is influenced by that. And... yeah, so it's like saying I like vanilla ice cream or something, or it's like something that's so pervasive in our life, something like the Honeymooners. But yeah. Holy shit, is it fucking good and still funny and classic? And there's not
so funny.
There's not that many of them, so you can kind of watch them.
That's what always blows my mind is that there's like 30 episodes or something.
Yeah,
you'd be watching over the day, but it's still no matter how many times I watch that stuff, it still slays me.
And they're
just so good.
You know, they're so stupid, and they're the stakes are so so high for such low things. You know,
yeah, the scheming just to make some money.
Deciding to buy a TV is like this huge thing, and
getting caught
and being, you know, made fools of,
and it's always seemed ahead of its time a little bit subtly. You know, there's still some like domestic abuse hints.
Yeah,
but, like,
well, yes,
the wives are always
the smart ones. They're the ones.
Yes,
that
they're always the smart one. They're always the sane ones, the rational ones that always, you know, they have to come back and apologize.
There was one, and this was such a like it became such a classic trope of a joke, but the one where he has to pretend that he's the boss, he's the manager of the bus company
because his friend is coming into town and he wants to show off.
Yes, and this, him running back and forth, putting on a tie, sitting in the boss's chair, and making look it up. I mean, it might feel like, oh, I'm not gonna watch old black and white stupid comedy. I'm too cool for that. Man, I'm into like artistic. I'm into like, you know, anti-comedy and you know,
dark comedy,
dark stuff. Man, I like it all dark. I like it, you know, really challenging and Black Mirror and Chris Morris. Man, I like Chris Morris instead. You know, I don't even like. But go back to the fundamentals this weekend.
Because it's seriously set up like in any comedy and sitcom that you watch, there is at least one episode that is you know, it totally relates back to an episode that they made. And not to mention like the Flintstones and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
That's a little more egregious.
And if you want to let me go, I just have one quick thing. I'd kill myself if I didn't plug this real quick.
All right.
You play the Grateful Dead occasionally. Oh, you like some of their studio stuff, and you always make fun of the live stuff. And granted, there are a lot of years that are just not that great listening wise. But if I could just recommend one show that you check out,
right.
I don't care for how long.
Hold on. Get my iTunes open.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be on iTunes.
Well, what am I going to do?
You go to archive.
No.
Just write down this date and.
Just
write this down real quick, all right?
What? Go ahead.
All right. 5877. Cornell, and just put in archive.org in that Google search, and it's going to pull up this show for you to listen to. It's going to be tracked out, so if you want to skip around, you can skip around.
5877 Cornell
is that Cornell University
archive.
archive.org.
What are they going to do? Good love. Dun, 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 good love.
No, they don't do good love.
Dancing in the street. We're dancing in the street. And no, this is a... How it's gonna be? You're gonna give your love to me. I have it right here. Look at this. This is right here. Jack Straw coming in.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got Grateful Dead coming in from our buddy Eric Ciccone here. And this is archive.org featuring the Grateful Dead coming in. Oh, yeah, I like that. This is
look at that set list, man.
Jack Straw.
Stacked.
Yeah, you really, really hear those two drums, man. Two drummers, man. They're really fucking killing it. Oh, shit. They got a 60-minute version of Dancing in the Streets. They got a 16-minute version of Dancing in the Streets. That's what we want to hear. Here we go, folks. Dancing in the Streets coming in at number 11 for the Cornell Archives. The Grateful Dead. Dancing in the Streets, ladies and gentlemen. Let's skip generically. Let's just skip randomly in the middle. Oh, we're a minute in, and we're grooving here, Dancing in the Streets.
Yo, and if there's one thing you have
to
get me straight through, listen to Scarlet Fire.
Oh, hang on. I'm getting it. Here we are. 7 minutes in.
I love you.
7 minutes in, and we are still dancing in the streets.
Yes, we are. Chicago.
Oh, man, that sounds like shit. I'm going to go to... Folks, we're going 9 minutes in to Dancing in the Streets. Oh, this sucks.
Dude.
Going to 12 minutes,
you
folks.
We're going on privately. This is a good head.
12 minutes. Oh, boy. There's nothing's changed. 15
it's
minutes
grooving,
in.
Man. It's just grooving. You got to put your dancing shoes on and groove.
Listen. Ooh, that sucks.
What, are the cops coming? You got a noise complaint?
Oh, no. Dancing in the streets. Okay, well,
they
I think
dancing.
You just stepped in a pile of mud there, pal. What do you want me to listen to?
This conversation started out well.
Scarlet Begonias?
Scarlet Begonias into Fire in the Mountain. Okay. Just listen that through, and right. You know, I think it might change your mind a little bit about Live Dead. I know you always make fun of their Pablo O'Reilly cover. That's pretty disastrous. But this is the Dead at their peak, and I think you'll enjoy some of the.
I like that song. I like this song. What record is Scarlet Begonias on?
You know, I'm a terrible Deadhead, and I can't remember if that's maybe Blues for Allah.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Take care. Oh man, that's gonna get me through the rest of the day. Dancing, we're dancing in the streets. Cal,
Tim, how are you?
I'm jacked.
You're jacked. You been working out?
Yeah, I'm on roids and
roids. You know, I was typing in your name on Skype, and it said I put in the real Tim Heidecker, and it auto-corrected it to the other Decker.
Hey, well, whoa. There you go.
There it is. So I was wondering, because I make music, I do a couple different genres and things like that, and
jazz.
Not jazz, but I jump around between different technologies, you might say, like. I do some electronic stuff. I do some indie rock stuff. I do hip hop instrumentals, things like that. Any time in your making of comedy and stuff like that, doing the awesome show and things like that. Did you ever have any things where you ran into like a technical problem that kind of kept you from like carrying out what you were planning on doing? And then like when you changed it, did it work out anyway?
Oh God! Yes. Well, I'm always handicapped by my own abilities. I think, and it becomes frustrating to if musically mostly, you know, if I have an idea for the way something should sound, often I can't actually see that through. So it's frustrating because. to get other people to do it is takes time and money and work to get that going. So but you know, if you keep pushing, you can get done whatever you want to get done.
Yeah. But
sometimes the limits of your abilities sometimes inform the content.
I saw, you know, I was just well, thank you for commenting on that. I had to laugh before at that Manchester by the Sea part about 20 minutes ago. Not laugh, but it was just because I saw it too, and my friend was taking me or saying I should come out with my girlfriend and see the show with this movie with him.
Yeah,
it was like we kept looking at each other through the whole thing. We're like, oh my god, this is just ruining us right now. We don't even have kids, but it's just still, it was like insane. But
it must be, first of all, imagine seeing that on a first date or a second date. There's so many. I remember years ago I went to see a family member of mine had recently gone through a divorce. It was a nasty, it was an ugly divorce, you know, it was another woman situation, you know. And for some reason, me and we went to see Eyes Wide Shut in the movie theater.
Oh, Christ.
Holy shit! And I felt like I wanted to crawl up into a little ball and not ever make eye contact with this person again.
Right.
It's funny that some of these movies, some of these experiences, they're like, you know, why are we putting ourselves through this? You know, what did I do to deserve that?
Right. No, it only got darker. It was like any time I thought it was about to have. I thought maybe it jumped the shark after. I'm not going to say what it was for spoiler reasons, but like, you know, that point in the middle of the movie where you were like, this is like, you know, crushing me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that was a little, seemed like a little much, but then they actually like marinated in that, and I was like, wow, this is pretty well done, you know.
Yeah. Overall. Yeah. I get one thing that one issue I had with it was that this sort of style. You see it in a lot of these movies where they're like, we're going to cast, like the smaller parts, we're going to cast locals. These are going to be, and sometimes that works, and sometimes I feel like in that movie it felt a little like, just get some actors maybe to play some of these other parts because they're feeling a little, not ready for prime time.
Right, a little pushed. Yeah. Well, where in your case, in the other, you know, when you grab locals, I guess you could say for Awesome Show, that was what you were looking for. You wanted people who were going to totally just mess up. But that was the, and I've always wondered, did you like have a script and then you kind of just said, try to say this and we'll see what happens?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we'd feed lines. Sometimes we'd give people the gist. I laugh because when we're making Decker or something, often we will not use the best takes for comedic effect. And we laugh because we're like, well, anybody can do that if they wanted to. You know, you could take any show and you use the worst takes of, you know, whoever it is in the show and make them, you know, and make comedy out of that. So it's just a decision we make for the show, but it doesn't mean that, you know, these people are terrible. It's just that we're not using the best takes for you, for your laugh, so that you can laugh, so that you people out there can laugh, because that's what's important.
I hear you morphing into Alex.
No, not today, friend.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Cal. Bye. Joe Grieg.
Tim.
Yes.
That's Greg, but that's fine. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Just two quick questions. The on cinema shows you're doing in London, what's the difference between the matinee and the normal shows?
Well, there's only one on cinema show. That's a matinee. And then, and then there's Tim Heidecker, myself, and Neil Hamburger, and that's a stand-up comedy show. That has nothing to do with on cinema.
Okay, so I should maybe get tickets to both then.
I would suggest if you wanted to get tickets to both, you would have trouble because the On Cinema show is sold out.
Oh, I've actually got the matinee ticket.
Oh, you do have the matinee ticket.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The evening show throughout the 2 weeks is a stand-up comedy show.
Awesome.
Totally different than the matinee.
Okay, cool.
So you'll be spending quite a bit of money at the Soho Theater in August.
Yes, thank you. Just another quick one. Are we ever going to get any On Cinema bloopers?
Isn't that the holy grail?
I know, right? Have you ever been asked that question before?
Not really, but it's come up as we're dancing around the idea of doing a membership.
I would totally pay for that.
Thank you. That's one of these items that we feel like you kind of don't want to put out there, because it will, even if we offer it as like a premium thing, it's going to eventually find its way on the internet. But we were talking about like an idea where you get a private screening or something, you know. I don't know. There would be at least an hour of stuff, I would think.
Cool. That would be amazing.
It's pretty silly what goes on, as you can imagine.
Great.
Brilliant. Thanks.
All right,
Joe.
I'll go back to work.
Bye.
Thanks
now. Nice, friendly Brit. Marmalady. Marmalady. Everybody with the fun names that never eventually disappear. They never deliver. It's like some kind of gag. Randall.
Oh, hi. How's it going, Tim?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to say that I'm a big fan of yours. I've watched all of your shows for a while. I'm going to a Foxygen show soon.
Nice.
I just want to thank you because I discovered them through that episode of Bedtime Stories.
You did?
Yeah, used Shuggy in it.
Yeah. Well, that's neat to hear.
Yeah, so I was just, it would be cool if you were to just pop into Philly and maybe do a surprise show with them. That'd be really cool if you could do that.
Where are they playing in Philly?
Union Transfer.
Okay. When is when is the show?
March 26th, Sunday.
This Sunday?
Sundays
from now.
Yeah, I'd say like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be able to make that.
It'd be a cool idea for the future then, I think.
Oh. Go ahead.
Are there any other bands like that you would recommend?
Well,
or is Foxton?
They're the only band. They're the only band I listen to.
Oh, really?
Now, have you got the Lemon Twigs record?
Oh, yeah, Do Hollywood. That's amazing.
Really good. The new Father John Misty record is very good, too.
I haven't listened to them yet.
It's a man. Just one.
Just one dude?
Yep. Get his new record. It's fantastic. Beautiful.
Oh.
It's out of sight, as they say.
I'll definitely check it out. You've never led me astray, Tim.
Good. Well, keep rocking in the free world, as we say.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you. Let's talk to Drew. Hello, Tim? Drew.
Sam?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, man, I'm all right. What's going on with you?
I have a question about Mark Prosh.
All right.
I don't know if you've talked about this before, but I have always wondered how the hell that happened. I don't know if there's anything more to it. I mean, was it really just so simple as you seeing the yo-yo videos and just reaching out to him?
I believe so. I can't remember the sequence of events. I think we definitely were sent those videos by maybe his manager. Somehow he got one level in before we became aware of him. He was discovered by somebody and came to L.A. for some. He had a meeting here at Absolutely with his writing partner at the time, and we hit it off. We started. He actually early on was doing some shows with Neil Hamburger. So, and of course, I'm friendly with that department. So we would get together, socialize, and he was looking for friends in the area, and we clicked, became good pals, and we continued that relationship to this very day.
That's really cool, man. I think he's fucking incredible. He works really well with On Cinema, and mm-hmm. I hope he never goes away.
Me neither. Although he does have a terminal disease.
That's bad.
It's terrible news, and it's upsetting to everybody involved.
Is this real?
No. Come on, dude. I'm not going to just blab about that. Imagine me.
I don't know.
All right, Drew. You gonna
Thanks a lot, man.
Have a good weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to have a pretty good weekend, I guess.
You're just going to try to take it easy, or what?
I'm just going to try to chill and take it easy, basically.
I'm taking my wife out on a date Saturday night. We're going to go see Get Out.
Yeah, I want to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
Everyone says you got to see it, and they say you got to see it in the theater. So I'm going to take her out. We're going to get some dinner, and we're going to go see a movie. My mom is going to be watching those little babies.
That's really sweet, Tim. I hope you guys have a romantic night. I hope you have a nice night. I hope you lean over and say I love you during the movie.
I just might do that, Drew. Right in the scariest part of the whole movie, just whisper, yeah. I love you.
It gets him every time.
All right, Drew, take care.
See ya.
What a nice Drew. Nat, go. Nat, go. Hey, who's this?
Hey!
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 Who's this?
How's it going? Natalie.
Oh, hi, Natalie. How are you? I thought you were a little boy.
People make that mistake all the time.
And how old are you?
18.
And where are you calling from?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska, home of the brave. So what's going on there?
Oh, I'm just hanging out with a couple dogs, enjoying the weather.
That's nice.
Listening to your show.
You take you off from school, or what's going on there?
Oh, I have school at 1. I just wanted to see if I could get on.
You in college?
Yeah.
Cool. What are you studying?
I'm just taking gen eds right now. I don't really know yet.
Still figuring it out, huh?
Yeah.
You grew up in that area?
Yeah.
Looking to stay in that area, or you might explore some other parts of the country or the world?
Maybe someday. I don't know. It's pretty nice here.
What are you into? What's your scene?
I like doing art a lot.
What's your medium? Painting, drawing, collage?
Usually drawing. Sometimes I do painting, you know, whatever.
Whatever inspires you.
Yeah.
Have Sometimes you ever done any drawings of me?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Well, can you post them up on the comment board today?
Yeah, probably. I made a birthday card for my brother when he turned 12, and I drew spaghetti on it.
Oh, nice.
So.
What are you listening to musically?
I really like Parliament Funkadelic.
Okay. I never really got into Parliament Funkadelic, George Clinton, and that scene.
Yeah.
What do I got to start with? What's my entree to the Funkadelic scene?
I think the album Maggot Brain is really good.
Maggot Brain. They talk about Maggot Brain, these folks, these people. They love Maggot Brain. I think I had that on some playlist. Let's get a little Maggot Brain playing on the office hours today, folks. We'll keep it quick and short so we don't get shut down. Maggot Brain, here it comes, folks. Coming in at number one is Maggot Brain. Whoa! Comes in hot.
Mother Earth is pregnant.
Okay, we'll skip that one. We don't need that intro. Okay, can you get to that from Funkadelic? This is a lot better than that Grateful Dead, don't you think?
Yes.
Excuse me. Oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah, if I've heard this before, this is great. This is great. I'm going to listen to this all day. I'm going to listen to this all weekend. Nat?
Yes, me too.
That's fantastic. I don't know why it stopped, but it stopped. Let's listen to it together, you know, just even though we're not in the same, even the same time zone, knowing that I'm going to be out there listening to it, then we can keep that sort of energy flowing across state lines.
Hell yeah.
So I detected a little accent. Are you originally from that area? You sort of got this kind of British thing going on.
Oh, man, really?
Could be an affect.
Sometimes I guess it just comes out. I'm not from anywhere but the Midwest.
All right. I have no reason to doubt you. Talk to you later.
Thanks for talking. See ya.
Anytime. Bye. Good luck with school. Marmalady. Try Marmalady again. Hello. I hear you. I hear you there. Would you identify yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. You need to mute the stream, though, because I hear an echo.
What's up? How are you?
Can you mute the stream, please, in Facebook?
Oh, okay. I got to mute this. Damn it. Okay.
Thank you so much. How can I help you today?
God damn, it keeps coming up. I'm sorry.
Just exit out. Exit out. Now it sounds good.
All right. Is it muted? Is it
yes.
good?
Yes. My poor audience, I apologize for this call. How can I help you today? Hello? My lord. Marmalady.
Now I can't hear you.
Well, you don't... Just X out the damn Facebook window in your browser, and then you should be able to hear me fine. Okay, well, let's try this again some other time. Marmalady, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, I think you're just going to have to hang up, because I can't even hear you.
Okay.
I
got this. All the best. Who's it? Trevor, Daniel Elliott.
Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you loud and clear, crystal clear, clear awesome. As a bell.
All right, cool, cool. Well, I kind of have a two-part question, man. By the way, I'm a huge fan, too. How willing has Adult Swim been to accept your show pitches and ideas?
You know, willing enough. The ones that I don't think I don't think there's a... there's not 100% success rate of our ideas versus what gets made, but there's a portion, you know, there's ideas for shows that we have that don't really, that we know ahead of time don't really work or wouldn't work as well there, so we don't necessarily go there first. Or there's shows that we have pitched to them that they say, man, maybe not that. Then there's others that they want to make. So it's case by case. We don't have some kind of, you know, automatic, you know, whatever we want to do policy there. It's usually is an idea case by case. And, okay. You go in there and make a good case for it.
Cool. Okay, so the second part of my question, like I hear a lot from my artist type friends that a lot of their success is due to like creative freedom and that kind of stuff. What happens if somebody tries to prevent that freedom for you specifically, and how do you respond?
I disagree sort of with the premise that success is based on artistic freedom.
I guess it allows them, maybe not based, but if, you know, without creative freedom, there's a, you know, a lot holding them back. They can't do what they want.
I don't know. I've never really been too much in a position where I have the constraints are generally self-imposed, and they involve working with other people and trying to become trying to compromise to a place where their ideas are able to feel safe, and my ideas are you know, there's a mutual respect for everyone's opinions. And you don't always get you don't always get 100% freedom. You have to compromise your ideas to match other people's. But you know, overall, if you're constantly in conflict with somebody over your ideas, then it's probably not a good relationship. But so I don't have much. There's my relationships with creative executives or whatever. I've always been pretty, you know, supportive and encouraging. And sometimes their notes are good. Sometimes their notes we disagree with. And generally the thinking is like, well, you guys know best, and it'll work. You know, it'll sink or swim based on. Factors that we can't control because it's
right.
It's out of
so like, sorry.
Go ahead.
So like, when you have, you know, Adult Swim, so that's like on television. I know that there's like there to some level some constraints there in terms of like you can't do too much swearing and that kind of stuff. But like when you go to like Jash and have your like online stuff like on YouTube, do you, you know, do you feel like you get to explore a little bit more when you do that?
A little bit. Sorry, there's a little, we got a little echo there. I like to keep things kind of not, I don't want to just come out there, you know, full frontal nudity, taking a shit on someone's head and, you know, I don't know, like.
Well, I will say that when I was watching the comedy, I kind of had to rewind and watch that first intro part quite a few times.
It's not
before
me.
I got to, I'm sorry?
It's not me.
It's not you?
No.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
The full frontal shot is Jeff Jensen. But the editor made
my fantasies are ruined.
Yeah, the editor made a clever little edit there, and it's this perception, of course, is different than the reality, and that's the true genius of editing.
I might just have to continue believing.
Okay. Bye, Jack Trev. Winding things down, folks. Harry Duncan will be joining us live. Harry Duncan.
Hey, Tim.
What's up?
Hey, we meet again. I asked you recently about that song on Sauce Boy. We had a great chat.
Yes.
And also, recently, I was listening to the show, and you had a guest on who did something I really enjoyed with you. You did a personal ranking of Beatles album.
Yes.
Really liked what that you said about that. I thought Abbey Road could have been maybe a little higher, but...
Okay.
Here's something I think you're going to like. Let's go. Your personal ranking... Top five, whatever, Ween albums.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. I don't I thought get you'd that. Like Ween.
I like them all right. I don't go deep into having opinions about. I mean, what you just got to put chocolate and cheese up there at front, up front. whatever came probably after that follows, you know, their that little pocket when they were making the country record. And I like. White Pepper is good, and I kind of lose track. I don't like the stuff before that record, Chocolate and Cheese, as much. Uh-huh. It's a little too out there for me, musically. A little too weird, and so there you go. And I don't know what they've put out recently. I don't know. So
they broke up, so they're not doing records anymore. Right. But
right. Well, what's yours?
Quebec. Quebec is probably my favorite. You know, I feel like they do style parodies that just crack me up. Like they do a song on Quebec that sounds like it's the Foo Fighters.
Oh, really? What's the name? I have that record. Let's play it. What's the name of it?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. The song is called Transdermal Celebration. I think it's track 3 on Quebec.
Okay, hold on. Let's get Quebec going. Oh, the Mollusk, right? Love the Mollusk.
Great one.
Where is... Quebec. Yeah, let's see. Oh, I gotta hold on. I gotta see all to see all the records. And what the hell? Ween, Quebec. There it is. Okay. And the name of the song? Transdermal Celebration. Let's see if it sounds like a Foo Fighters song. Oh yeah, this is a great song. I don't know. I mean, it's probably better than a damn. I don't know why that keeps stopping, but.
You know, sometimes they'll just play something, and I think to myself,
"There's a when you start. Listen what happens. Don't talk, and then talk after 5 seconds. Okay, I'm going to show you something that's happening with my computer right now. Friends, see, you started talking and. It muted. It muted the song because the computer felt like, well, this guy's got to say something. I guess they don't want to hear the music anymore.
No, I'll be quiet.
No. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying it's something that's happening with my computer right now.
Oh, I see.
Well, right. It's a fun song. It's a fun song.
Yeah, there's another track on that album that sounds like it's Motorhead to me. I think it's the first track on the album. I don't even know if that's intentional. This is a total theory of mine, but sometimes I just feel like they're playing with the sound of another band, mm-hmm. and I feel like they really nail it. But
yeah, they're good at it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Harry.
Sure.
Stanley Dangus. Stanley Dangus. What's up, Stan? Tim? What's up?
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? How can I help you today? What's going on?
So, okay, I got something I've been trying to call him for a while.
Okay, this will be the last call.
Yes. Okay. So, I know Decker is kind of probably loosely based on Steven Seagal a little bit. Is that right?
Sure. I'll give you that.
So there's a. There's a new Steven Seagal movie called, like, The Edge of the Gun or something. And his name is Decker.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Oh, you knew?
I know. I saw that. I didn't know that before we came up with Decker. I think Decker's,
right, no, of course.
It's a pretty, like, generic sounding name for an action star, don't you think?
It was like a nod to you guys? Because it just came out like last year.
No, I don't.
No?
No, I don't.
All right, well, yeah, no, I just thought that was really interesting. My wife and I were watching it the other night, and we're huge Decker fans. And
well, we're the original Decker. Fuck that.
I know that. Yeah, I agree.
Fuck him. I take him to court. I spin him around. I flip him.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Stan.
Cool. Thanks,
we'll take one more call. I thought there was going to be a better question. The way he set that up, it was like, oh, okay, let's get into this. Lewis Miller in the morning. Hey, everybody, it's Lewis Miller in the morning, coming to you live from Los Angeles. What's going on?
Let's see. I'm trying to make sure I got you. Well, let's see. It's the second time I've called you.
Damn it. It's a terrible signal. I'm going to talk to... Marmalady says she's figured it out. Marmalady?
There we go.
Okay. You're sounding coming in crisp and clear. How can I help you?
Hi. So how are you? Sorry. I probably already asked you, but I couldn't hear your response because my headphones weren't working.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
That's good. I don't even know. So I noticed we didn't really talk about anything, like, political in this discussion. I was just wondering, like, how are you feeling about, like, the current things going on? Like, everything that's going on with the Obamacare bill and all of that.
Yeah, I don't, it's all too much, as George Harrison would say. The healthcare thing is just mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it to some degree. I was with my aunt and my wife's aunt and uncle were visiting this week from Canada, and they're they're Canadian, so they're left of on the political scale, but they're fairly like normal kind of conservative type of people, I would say.
Yeah.
And they are just like, what the fuck are you doing down here? It's nuts that you guys are having this discussion, because for them, it's just the way of life. It's like, listen, we pay taxes and we don't worry about healthcare. You know, we have a baseline basic
because you pay taxes.
Yeah. And it's all about the way things are framed and the way things are, you know, the messaging is manipulated. And in my mind, it's just like, how about it's your fucking patriotic duty to chip in and make sure that there's a standard of living that's reasonable for people and doesn't, and it's just a kind of a, you know, genuinely civil and humane thing to be doing. These insurance companies seem like total fucking rotten. It's just a rotten business. It's just a scam, you know. There's certain things I think we could. A lot of other places in the world have sort of come to the conclusion of that there should be a baseline support system and. It just seems like a civilized thing to do. We're all living here. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to, you know, have to deal with this at one point in our lives. Why not take that off the thing that we worry about?
Mm-hmm.
Just figure it out. There's ways to do it.
It's weird because I live in Southwest Florida. I'm from Chicago, but I moved down here a couple years ago. And since this whole election and everything, it's just I see everywhere. Every city is just like blowing up with all these protests and everything. But down here, there's just like nothing. It's all quiet. And it's really weird for me because I just basically get to see it through friends from Chicago and through the internet.
Right.
Everything that's going on and like, all this outrage over it.
Yeah. Well,
so, I don't know. I mean, the only protest I've seen down here in my town, I live in Fort Myers, is this protest about male circumcision. Okay. I guess that's becoming a thing now.
Well, male circumcision, I guess, is why do you say male? Isn't just circumcision?
That's what people are protesting. There's like these people, they wear all white, and they go on the streets with these signs, and they say, end male circumcision.
Well, that doesn't seem like a priority for us to be worrying
about. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't. With my boy that we have, we didn't have him circumcised because it just seemed like a silly thing to do. Now that we know more about all that stuff, that's a little TMI, I suppose. But
I'm sorry. I mean, it's an actual thing that's being protested right now. It's weird.
Listen,
that's the only thing I've really seen. I had to travel across the state to protest Trump.
All right,
because he was visiting Mar-a-Lago, and I had to travel to protest him. Well, but here, it's like that's the only thing I've seen, just people getting upset over male circumcision, I guess.
Very strange. All right, Marmalady, thank you very much. And keep fight it online. You can get online and protest. You can.
I'm just wondering your input on it, because I don't know if it was only like a Southwest thing, like a Southern thing, or if it was like actually...
No, I think there's a little bit of, because there was so much energy and resistance and activism coming in the first month, there's a little bit of a dip right now, and I think the energy it takes to go out there and go to these protests and sign petitions and make phone calls and stuff, that's going to wane a little bit. But he'll keep fucking up and doing stupid shit, and there'll be active, there'll be targeted things that we can be doing to try to help our ideas get across. And I don't know how long he's going to last. I mean, I think this Russia stuff is starting to accumulate in a way that's going to, kind of become an unstoppable train eventually, because it doesn't look too good. All right?
Yeah.
I got to go. It's past the hour. It's 10:30, and I have to say goodbye. It was a fun chat. I don't know where any of this is going in my life. I don't know what the weekend holds in store. I do know a few things, right? We're going to play a little tennis tomorrow. We're going to play a little... I'm going to play... spend some time with my family. All kinds of activities, okay? See you next week, huh? Take care.